A yog is a state of consciousness which is unity. It is oneness. And I'm sure you know it very well. Your listeners know it and your viewers know it to a great extent. But yog is that awareness which is our source. Therefore, it is not a means, rather it is the purpose, it is the source itself. And in that is our truth. And Guruji, all throughout our lives, he would always just bring the awareness to that intelligence, because everybody has intelligence. So yoga is the state of pure intelligence that permeates every single being.
Welcome to A Curious Yogi Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby, joined by living masters and awakening friends. We're here to illuminate your practice as we explore what it means to walk the yogi's path, to unfold peace from within, and to live the vision of oneness. I'm so delighted you're here. Now let's get curious. Welcome back to the show, wonderful listeners. Thank you for being here, for tuning in and following that spark of curiosity inside of your own brilliant heart. If you are a regular listener and you get value from the conversations shared here, please consider joining us on the first Sunday of every month for a Curious Yogi Satsang and Study Group, where we dive into the topics offered on the show, access this wonderful community along with early release of the episodes and other perks by becoming a member at patreon.com/acuriousyogipodcast. Those perks I will mention are discounts on Zoom yogasana classes, pranayama classes, and in-person retreats. So head on over. And here we go, this week's episode. I'm coming to you from India, where I'm wrapping up another 6 months of studying Vedanta philosophy and meditation at the International Meditation Institute in northern India, in the high Himalayas of Kulu Valley of the Gods, which this trip has been illuminating and extraordinary, to say the least. I feel so thankful, so privileged. I get to spend so much of my life immersed in the yogic way, immersed in that ashram living, immersed in daily satsang, and in a community of satsangis who always, always love to bring the attention back to that awareness, which we get into in this week's conversation. And it's very perfectly serendipitous time to have this interview with this week's guest, who is a total master and wonderfully brilliant sadhak, Alka Srivasta. Alka is the youngest daughter of Yog Shiromani Swami Sham, founder of the International Meditation Institute. Alka has dedicated her entire life to unfolding self-awareness. She has accompanied Swamiji on many tours across India and the rest of the world, where she has spoken of the importance of meditation and the knowledge of the self. She currently conducts regular satsangs at the IMI and teaches classes on Swamiji's poetry and his illumination of the ancient scriptures. Alka has been singing Swamiji's songs in satsang from an early age, which she very delightfully shares with us in the conversation. And she also composes melodies for the songs that Swamiji has written and teaches them in weekly classes. Alka shares with us about growing up with her father as her guru, and she also gives her own incredible expression about the wisdom that he imparted on her, and the knowledge she has unfolded for herself through her own sadhana. Elka speaks with openness, generosity, and delight as we touch on meditation, knowledge, love and devotion, pure space. It's such a full, wonderful chat, and I know you'll take inspiration for your own practice, just as I have. So, without further ado, here is Elka, and I'll meet you on the other side. Welcome, Elka G, so much to a Curious Yogi podcast.
Thank you, Bobby. Just lovely to be here with you.
It's my total honor. Like I was just saying before we started, that I've had my list of dream podcast guests, and you've been on it since the beginning because you are an extraordinary being, such a devoted and incredible meditator and just wise person in my life. So to get to spend time together is my real privilege, and to get to share it with the curious listeners, I think they're all going to really also get that same sense of love and appreciation for you that I have. So lots of love for being here.
Thank you. And thank you. And hello to all your listeners and watchers. You're just incredible. I appreciate you, and I'm really happy and to be able to do this at this time.
It's great. Yeah. So just to give the listeners a little bit of context before we get into what you know and what you live, I've known you for 10 years. You are the daughter of my guru and many people's guru and your own guru. And I think just to start, kind of goes hand in hand, if you can introduce yourself. And I know as you introduce yourself, you also naturally introduce Swami Sham. So your story is extraordinary. You are extraordinary, but maybe just in a compact introduction of who you are.
Well, thank you so much. That's a beautiful question, because as you said, when I introduce myself, I am introducing my source, Swami Sham. And Swami Sham is beloved and dear to myself and to so many people around the world. And it is just such a special privilege. And I would say that it is that Swamiji actually chose to be married, which wasn't his choice. But as in India it goes, you go according to what your parents want, especially back in the day when he was young. And so he got married, and he ended up having 5 children. Mm-hmm. And a beautiful, beautiful mom we have, very powerful lady. And Guruji has, Swamiji had always wanted and has always been immersed in the knowledge of the self. And if in simple terms, if I were to say, he is a realized being. And the realized being is the one that lives from moment to moment, that state of the self, which is pure, free, and forever. So that is our beloved Guruji. And I am Alka. Swamiji calls me Alka Madhuralka, Alka the Blessed One. So I just am so blessed to be here and introduce that I was introduced to meditation, and Swamiji made it a very, very sacred occasion. He took us all, the whole family, to Rishikesh. And in a beautiful little cottage that we had hired, he introduced a meditation to us and initiated us into meditation. I was only 3 years old at that time. So I have been meditating ever since then, and have just been practicing what Guruji said. And the evolution just took from there in that state of knowing the self on which I meditate.
Beautiful. Wow. And I'm wondering, like, as a child growing up, having a father that was very special, even before he had an ashram, like you said, he was a householder, had a career, and yet he was a charismatic person, and you grew up kind of from the beginning sharing him with friends and people that are curious and seeking and attracted to him. And you also at the same time were attracted to him. Like, what was that like growing up for you?
Well, growing up with him, as everybody's father is a hero. And my father certainly was a hero, stayed being a hero all our lives. And because he had also grown in the family of the gurus, his own Guruji, Swami Ramananji, lived in his home when he was 4 or 5 years old. So he was actually, no matter what he did and where he went, he lived a vision of oneness. So for him, even though he was in the situation of being in the Legislative Assembly, and but somehow there was the spark in him, in his laughter, and which you can watch his videos on certain places, you do. And you, when you listen to him and you see the eyes of our beloved Guruji, there's a spark that just attracted everybody. And even though he was a very young person at that time, 30s, 40s, and like yourself, and but he always attracted all these cream of the crop of the society. They were like judges and the lawyers and the doctors and the engineers with high intelligence that were attracted to him. So even though he was a normal householder, but he would always somehow find a way to speak about satsang, talk about satsang and what he knew. For that, he made centers and he went to the different hired separate houses other than our family home. And he always brought the knowledge to everyone. And I would sit in those meetings. As I said, I've been totally blessed to be in his presence all this time. And how he would begin those sessions was with myself singing Adharam, 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 or different mantras. And so after that, he would just simply, I knew I had to go there, sit in that satsang meeting for that long, sing my routine that I was going to do, and then off he would send me away. And that was a groove that he created. There was, so that created an importance for satsang and the higher thought for myself, yet without any bondage that a parent can impose sometimes or a teacher can impose. He just simply made it so attractive that you come and you do this and then off you go. And that is kind of the way I have lived my whole life. And he never created a separation between ourselves, like as if we were the knowers of the truth, because Swamiji is there, and we knew the higher thought, we knew what the self is, we knew that what we are is not just this body. But there was never any sense in us that my school mates and my teachers and the society friends in which I moved, there was as if they were different from me. And there was completely a same sense that they are me. And till this day, whether somebody has been practicing the yoga, meditation, higher thought for 2 days or 20 years or 50 years, there is absolutely no sense of division that comes in myself that categorizes them. Because the way Swami brought us up, we were just the emanation of the same being. We are the same waves of the same ocean water. And that is where he brought us up, with the sense of oneness, but always in freedom.
I think that's definitely something that I recognized in Swami so immediately, was that sense of freedom that he both lived, that his family lived, his devotees lived. And I've always been like super attracted to freedom. Yes, so yes. It was like, I love that you said that, because it's definitely something that sparked into me also, because it was, even he would say, you don't have to change anything. You just add meditation.
You just add. That is yoga.
The most
yoga means to add. Even in our mathematics, you say yog, ren and yog. Yog means to add and ren is to deduct, you know. And so even the very word is so part and parcel of the language that we speak, which is Devanagari, based on Sanskrit, and that there are so many words that just put you in that state of yog. So
beautiful. And that's so interesting that you say that, because, you know, I'm speaking from my own experience, because that's only where I can speak and reflect from. But when I came and met Swamiji, I had been studying yoga in the West for 10 years already. And I remember the first day in satsang, I heard Swami's description and speech about yoga, like you're saying, and it was so much vaster and expansive and delightful and brilliant than I had ever even considered yoga the way it's portrayed out other places. And when you're speaking of, like, even at the beginning you said Swamiji is a self-realized being, and that we're speaking the knowledge of the self, can you shed a little light into what is that self, what is that yog that we're doing here in satsang, that we're doing and arriving at and studying and churning that higher thought in meditation and satsang?
A yog is a state of consciousness which is unity. It is oneness. And I'm sure you know it very well. Your listeners know it, and your viewers know it to a great extent. But yoga is that awareness which is our source. Therefore, it is not a means, rather it is the purpose, it is the source itself. And in that is our truth. And Guruji, all throughout our lives, he would always just bring the awareness to that intelligence, because everybody has intelligence. So yoga is the state of pure intelligence that permeates every single being, that permeates a little caterpillar, that permeates a little puppy, that permeates a human being, that permeates the mountains and the skies. And it truly can be grasped by the one that is endowed with a human body. And that is the state which Guruji emphasized and said that you can tap into that awareness because the God, or that almighty being, which is the state of yoga. And that has given you the capacity to live it every single moment. And that is where so many different branches of the yoga have been created. And unfortunately, we have so many aspects and so many different ways of getting to that. Guruji has basically said that the yoga is to unite with your own self as the self. And so therefore it is never an effort of a body, because the body is a matter, a material consciousness. It cannot know by itself. So the being that is being known is always one and the same, and that being is in everyone. And I think it is the wish of every being to be united with that. And we are so grateful for all the yoga teachers and yogis that are making the effort to know it, like yourself, and spread that message, and just impart it with all the people that are wishing to know it.
Beautiful. I love that. And I think it's, you know, like you said, we all want to know it. There is a kind of sense in, like you said, that even the high intellect and the ones that are highly evolved or highly successful in the world, there's only so far that can really get anybody. And when you say, like, we need someone to tell us that, or to that it lives that, or that imbibes that, that is the job of the guru, that is the job of Swamiji, is to demonstrate it as that realized being that Yes. Mm-hmm. He's emanating that truth that I have a sense within myself, but yet the mind can't reach there.
Right. Yes. Well, that is a beautiful, beautiful question. You just, obviously, you have done the practice, you know. And yes, a guru is very important, because we know, just as in order to learn even the how to write. And I remember sitting in Swamiji's lap as a little girl, and him holding my hand with a pencil in my hand, and his hand over my hand, and the first letter we ever wrote was Om. And so I don't think that any kind of skill, any kind of art, any kind of action could take place if we didn't have like a parent or like a guru or a teacher that could actually show us. So, but as we know, guru is not necessarily, Swamiji would always say, guru is not a teacher. And somehow it really struck, because for myself, I had, growing up, everyone comes with a seed. I had come with a seed of being a teacher. And so even in school, etc., and all throughout my life, I was always in the position of teaching this or teaching that. As I stayed in the ashram around Swamiji also, he encouraged me to hone that skill, to be a teacher and to be always in a state, because that always keeps your intelligence sharpened. And Guru is, so in that way, Guruji beautifully guided and let us know that yes, teaching is a method to just keep it as part of your own practice. But teaching is not the end in itself. So therefore, by having many people, many students around, it doesn't make one be that which is the realized guru awareness. And as we say again and again, guru is a state of awareness. And there where the vision of oneness is held at every moment, I shall not say held, because holding means something that you are really making an effort to hold. You just basically live that state. So in that way, when one finds and sees someone that just makes them feel, their heart warms up, their intelligence gets sparked, their being just gets lit in their presence, that is the guru in whose presence you are. Just as when the sun is there, the sun simply shines, and the sun always has the vision of oneness. It never divides that, oh, I'm not going to shine on the rock because I'm not going to get any reflection. It never makes a distinction, I'm going to shine on the water because it will reflect and it will emanate the light. Sun just simply shines. And Guru is that being, the realized being, the one who lives that state, that he simply is in that awareness, forever present, established, and in his presence you are automatically enlightened into that consciousness which he is. So I think it is very true, guru is very important in order to be enlightened. Mm-hmm. And as to you said that the mind can't grasp it, and I would like to say, through the evolution of being in the presence of Guru and listening to hundreds and thousands of hours and being in the presence with Swamiji when he would be talking to varieties of people, yes, when the mind is unpurified, An unpurified mind cannot grasp the self. But when through sadhana, through meditation, through varieties of means that you impart to varieties of people, when that purification of the mind takes place, at that time, the mind no longer functions as a divisive mechanism, and it stops dividing, and it gets transformed into its own consciousness. At that time, we say, yes, I use the means of my mind and its intelligence to get to that which is my own source and which alone is forever. Mm-hmm. Thus, in that way, Guruji used the mind, Guruji used the intelligence and evolved into knowing that you are always the source, my dear mind.
My dear mind. Beautiful. When you were speaking, two questions came up. One would be, you know, when I put my mind and my heart to the listeners, say, in the West that are householders or, you know, working or have families, and there is still that same innate desire in all of us to have that freedom and to have that recognition of the self as Swamiji imparted on anybody that came and sat in front of him. But what could we say to that person that doesn't have a guru in the physical form? How can one begin to meet their own self in that way? And I guess similarly, when we talk about purifying the mind, how do we purify the mind? How do we meet that Sadguru inside without the living being in the form?
Yes, it is, one has to simply, in that case, as we also know, Guruji would always say, yes, I am sitting in front of you, but he never called himself a guru. It's us that called him a guru. He never called himself a guru. He just called us himself as a friend. He just thought, I am your own self. As we know, all the letters that he would sign, he would call them as your own self. So then what Guruji gave us the knowledge, that guru is that, as we said, that light of consciousness, which is always there. And that is the nature of everyone. So therefore, guru is not someone that is only outside, particularly at this point when our beloved Guruji's form is not in front of us now, and there are hundreds and thousands of people around the world that are just simply living their beautiful life in the best possible way they can. But guru says that, Swamiji says so beautifully, that there everyone has the power to tap into their originality. And the originality is that pure intelligence, as we said, and everybody can think, everybody can know. Everybody knows that this is hot out. I can't stand in the sun. And I don't want to stand in the freezing cold either. That being that is in everyone that knows, that knowing power is guru in everyone. And so therefore, guru is within. Guru is that power that is always present within everyone. And it can be tapped into, first of all, basically, if you never heard about it, you'd never even think to tap into it. But when you hear from somebody that guru is that knowing power within you, you simply have to tap into that, and then you will be that guru which will guide you with perfection. And for that, I think one just simply, the best way that I know as a direct experience, it is through meditation. It is simply through meditation. And meditation means, in Hindi, it means dhyan. And dhyan is not an act of meditation. Dhyan word is, again, inherent in the language. If I say put the glass attentively, dhyan means attention. And so then when we place the attention, in that very moment, that meditation takes place. And when we place the attention with being attentive to where we are placing the attention, that is the perfect state of meditation. And normally our consciousness just remains consciousness or thinking power or our actions or our emotions, they remain involved in objects and things and places. But we look at the flower, we say, yes, that's a beautiful flower. And but do we ever pause and think as to who is the one that is actually seeing the flower? It's not just the eyes. And there is the being that actually, after seeing the flower, says that is a beautiful flower. That is the knower or the knowledge in everyone. And that is the knowing power, the guru, on whom we meditate. Thus, we, at every step, if we just take a moment back and stop just being involved with the eyes seeing the objects, or the ears hearing the voice, hearing the sounds, hearing the music, or the tongue tasting varieties of taste, if we just take a pause and close our eyes, and at that time we just see as to who it is with whose power I was able to watch or hear or taste, that is the state of meditation. And it does require closing of the eyes, because as long as the eyes are open, like Swamiji would beautifully say, the two senses out of the five senses that human beings have, the two main senses that are always involving a human being in the state of involvement, worry, concerns, actions, duality, sense of division, is the eyes and the ears. And everyone is very, very attached to all the experiences that we get from the eyes and the ears. And so therefore, in order to let the senses stop for a moment, not stop, but reach or go back to their source, one needs to close their eyes. And shall I go on?
Well, that's good, because I have some kind of questions as you're speaking. And actually questions kind of coming from my own side, because you're so beautifully and clearly describing what is meditation really. Because so many of you actually, you know, in the world now, it's like mindfulness and all these kind of other sects or branches or whatever of meditation. And you're so beautifully describing it in the purest sense of that knower, knowing power. And I'm asking you from my own side now, as someone that, you know, you're my respected elder in a sense, even though you said we, you know, you see everybody as one, but you've been meditating, like you said, since you were 3 years old. And for me, as someone that's been meditating for 10 years, actually 10 years wow. tomorrow that okay. I met Swamiji.
Fantastic.
And so, fine, my nervous system is refining, but the whole life until 10 years ago, I practiced knowing myself as only this body and mind, only this kind of internal happening with the eyes and the ears and the dream state and the waking state, and it inside of me, something didn't feel, that didn't resonate. I knew there was something more.
Yes.
And coming onto this path of sadhana has helped me to slowly start to open that. And I'm wondering, is it like we just have to keep practicing, we have to keep closing our eyes again and again, and that's how the awareness gets expanded and unfolded and for ourselves? Because, you know, I have the example of you, I have the example, of course, of Swamiji, who lived that state 24/7. So I know it's possible, and yet I see that there is a gap, or I see that there's much farther to go, it feels like, especially in those moments where I get pulled into the chaos of the world or the excitement of the world, because that's how I've been trained.
Right.
And so doing the sadhana is kind of like an unlearning, and to keep closing the eyes and keep purifying, like you said before, the mind is the practice, just to keep the practice. Like, I know Swamiji didn't reach realization and then stop meditating. Like, he meditated all the time, right, till the last moment.
Yes.
And so I guess that maybe is the answer.
Yes, that's right. It's beautiful that you ask. There is a whole sense and emphasis that is given on the practice. However, if you remember, and I remember for all my life, whenever anyone came in front of Swamiji, what he told them, he didn't begin his teachings, or he didn't begin his conversation by saying, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. He basically told them, you are the self. You are that pure knower. You are that pure truth. And that is what actually is the meditation, or being aware of that. And so until we ended up hearing it from a Guruji, from yourself, or from myself, or from anybody, until then we concluded we were only this name and the form. And so, but once you, Guruji says that you are that pure knower, the knowingness, you always had it, you just simply didn't know it. And now, just as now we have been so told, and whenever Swamiji gave the name to myself as Alka, once I knew I'm Alka, I know I'm Alka. I don't have to sit down every day and think, I'm Alka, I'm Alka, I'm Alka. It's a state where you automatically know. So as we mentioned, that the state of meditation is the state of knowingness, yes, I'm not taking away the practice from it at all in any way. Practice in Hindi is known as abhyas. Guruji has written many songs, and abhyas means practice. And he, all his life that I can remember, he says, one concludes that by practicing means repetition over and over and over and over again. Like 24 hours a day is there, and if I meditate about 12 hours out of that day, I'm going to reach the state of self-realization sooner. He would give the example of a carpenter, because we had a lot of construction done around the ashram at that time. He'd always say, he says, don't ever get confused with the idea of practice of with repetition. He says a carpenter goes back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth with his saw, and ends up cutting the wood, but that is a very gross expression of it. He says that the abhyas, or the practice that a meditator or being who is realizing the self, he has to do, is at every step, no matter what he is doing, rather than placing the attention on the doing, he has to place the attention, who is the one that is doing? And that is the practice. The practice is to be tuned into that knower, the knowingness. Again and again, I keep coming back to that. But the practice is needed, because the nadis are there, because there are all these 70 to 100,000 or 1,000 channels are there in the human existence. As you know, the yogis know it. I myself do hatha yoga in the morning. I do pranayam, I do neti, and all those yogic techniques or yogic means, but I don't even think I'm doing them, because I'm going to get anywhere. It becomes, and then I study, I actually love to dwell on the intelligence aspect of the human being. And that is the beauty of Swamiji, that Swamiji emphasized that just simply closing the eyes and calling it meditation without the awareness of the knower, he says that will not bring us to that which is our deep realization. He would give the example that even a crane sits with his eyes closed, and he is meditating on catching the fish. So he says, if you are sitting there with closing your eyes, but your thoughts are wandering constantly on how I can be a better human being, how I can be a better business person, how I can be a better mother or a father or a daughter or a son, or all those different aspects, he says, then your realm of meditation is still in the field of name and form and the thoughts, and they're always changing. Therefore, Guruji said that his meditation, which is the meditation on the knower, I also call it meditation on the pure space, and thus the name is Sham Dhyan, which means that you meditate on the awareness of the pure space as you. Because the space is something that everybody can grasp. The space never changes. The space never gets cut. The space never gets burned. The space has never seen an end to it. Like we look up at the sky, and the sky, nobody can ever see and know when did the sky take birth. And when is the death to the sky going to take place? There is no beginning and no end to the sky. Thus, the meditation, closing the eyes, giving the rest to the senses, along with the constant mantra on manifest outer Bakhrivani, as we say first. We speak it Amaram Ham Madhuram Ham. That is the mantra that I meditate on. I go to it again and again amongst many mantras, but I go to it, and it just simply, it was revealed to Swamiji, as we know. And at one point when Swamiji was simply meditating, and this mantra came, which is that, my dear one, the space or that self or the knowingness or the knower, its name is Amaram Ham Madhuram Ham. And so many times whenever I would be asked to give a talk in satsang, which I was regularly blessed with, that Swamiji would always keep asking me to speak, and when the guests came, I sang songs and spoke all the time. And Swamiji made it very, very clear to myself that when you say that the space or the knower is the reality which never is born, which never dies. At one point, I remember there were these guests, and I went up there and I said, yes, I meditate on that space which never is born, which never dies. And I stopped there. And Swamiji, in my tracks, stopped me. And like a father guru, he very clearly pointed out to myself, he said, what do you mean that space is immortal and blissful? Why are you talking about this? And I was sort of stumped. I didn't know what he was meaning and what was he evoking in me or bringing out in me. I didn't know. So I was just looking at him. I said, well, that is the space that I meditate on. And Swamiji pointed out, and he said, you have to know that the space that you're speaking about, that you meditate on, he says, you have to know that is you. And that is why you're meditating on it. It is not for just feeling relaxed. It is not for just attaining some kind of expertise. It is to identify or recognize that space as yourself. When you recognize that space as yourself, then you are not fearful of the beginning or the end, because you recognize I am that which is Amaram, Madhuram. I never die. I am pure, free forever. That is me.
Oh, wow. Beautiful. What a beautiful description of the pure space and beautiful introduction to the mantra of Amaram, Madhuram. And yeah, I got kind of spaced out talking because it is so beautiful. And you're right, I see even where I myself got caught in my question before, as if I am somewhere and I have to reach somewhere. But so beautifully how you guided my awareness, and of course Swami guides our awareness to that establishment, that conviction of the pure space as me, like he would, like you said, sign the letters and he would say, you're the guru, you're my own self, and mm-hmm. and that did not create any sense of division, mm-hmm. any sense of divide, mm-hmm. like, and to be established in that vision of oneness, and then to move outward from there. Then we take on the responsibilities, we do the podcasts, we do the work or do the study, whatever it is that we're inspired to do.
Yes.
As the pure space, as the free being.
Yes.
And there's always an end with me, because it's like, yes, somehow there's like a keyhole into the intellect where it's like, I think I could grasp that. Yes. But then the mind, it will just come back in inevitably, and as if the veil comes back over.
That's right. It's like the sun is eternally shining, but the mind, which is simply the waking state of consciousness, mm-hmm. and the mind in the waking state comes, and it's like a cloud that clouds our consciousness, clouds our vision, with which we are not able to see that which is the unchanging reality. And it only likes the changing. It only likes either this or that. And Swamiji simply would say that, recognize. He said that there's always both the things in you. In the early days, in the 70s and 80s, Swamiji had made these groups. And he would call us. He said, you be in the group of self, and you be in the group of the mind. And he would say that you speak about what does the mind do and what does the self do. And at the end of the day, he would swap us, swap the groups. And he would just say, now you are there, you are there. But what was he doing is he was making us recognize that the self is always there in you. And there is this covering power that is always lurking in the background all the time, ready to cover your consciousness, ready to cover your vision, which is known as the mind. But the truth is, Swamiji would just simply say, the choice is yours. You have the self in you, you have the mind in you. And in order to, as if, remove the dust that takes place on the glass. Swamiji would so often give that example. He says there is the clear pane of the window pane, and the sun is streaming in it. And he says that is your true nature. That is what you have heard from Guru. That is your reality. And when you have meditated and practiced to meditate, you are able to grasp that clear, clear light of Guru consciousness in you. But he says that the waking state mind will come. It will be a dust that will always be involved in, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to be this, and all the projects and preparations and things that are there, they are the expression of the mind. They are like a dust, and they simply come, and it covers that clear window pane. And thereby, as you said before, therefore, we have to practice. we have to practice, but not with the sense as if I'm going to take a mop and clear the dust. We do that, but we always keep our attention. Why am I clearing the window? I'm clearing the window, or I'm clearing this mind so that the sun, which is my own self, the source, can shine through. And in this way, we as the beings, because Papa would say, Swamiji would say so beautifully, he'd say, because the human nervous system is there, and the human nervous system will need to do something. He would always involve me in so many different things. I was a good student in school. I always fared with first class in my university and everything. So therefore, I love to just sit down and study and meditate. I could sit for my exams or just sit basically from 7:30 in the morning till 1:30 in the afternoon. I wouldn't even think of breakfast or anything. I could sit for hours on end. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that was my seed. And watch what Guru does. Guruji didn't just think that just by sitting down and closing your eyes and studying, that is what is essential. He introduced all kinds of actions in my life. He got me involved in singing because it raises the prana. It brings the prana, can just be stuck in variety in all different chakras in your body, as you know. And it can be just stuck in one place or the other. But in this way, the singing is the means to raise the consciousness of the kundalini so that it rises. And Swamiji would just say, you sing, and you sing with your voice. It creates action. It creates the sound for the voice. It creates all the atoms to shift and move. And ultimately, it goes up out through your Sahasrara, or the highest consciousness, highest chakra. And so he got me involved in all the songs, the song projects, where I would be typing the songs, writing down the songs, singing the songs, preparing the songs. And with groups of people, he created a top song group with a very dynamic Swamiji. Swamiji's choice of music was very dynamic. And he wrote songs and music, which became the part of my action. So he added, along with my intelligence and knowledge and meditation, he made me active. At first, I was reacting, because in that action, I would have to act and react with people. There's musicians that they like, they don't like. There are other musicians interacting with other musicians. So there was a whole world as if you experience in that moment, and you learn all different ways. How do the minds function? How do the minds interact with each other? But the purpose of it was not to study the minds and how they work and how they function and how to create harmony with them. That is not the purpose. The purpose is to know that no matter what takes place, whether my song performance, which I performed once a week and practiced five times a week, all of that, if my song performance was wonderful or not, I never changed. And the musicians or my friends, they never changed. And that is the purpose of Swamiji, to do anything and involve you. He involved me in so many actions, so many projects. He involved my sister constantly to be involved with interacting with family affairs and all the businesses. And my mother was always taking care of the bank balances and going to the post office when we were younger. So Swamiji included everything. He never thought that meditation or the knowledge is the only way, because he would say that all the senses need to be given their due objects of the senses. the eyes need to know, see something, so therefore give them something pleasant, but always with the sense that I am always at the back of the vision, and that vision is pure. So in this way, Swamiji's work is complete. That's why I'm active. I am sitting in Kulu, but I just sort of like touch base with everybody. And I just joined Guruji's grace to us with everything that we need so that we can just simply live this life in doing the sadhana, which we call. So we're doing the practice and we're not taking away from any sense that we don't study, we don't practice. I teach, I study, I am interacting with people. I just simply post things online just to basically be in touch with each one, to recognize and touch base with everyone that, see, we all know what Guru taught us, that our eye is always pure, free, forever. It's immortal, it's blissful. That's the purpose of living the life.
Beautiful. The purpose of living the life. And you are someone that's so exemplified that. And also I loved when you were speaking that you sort of give, not sort of, you very clearly give the dignity and the respect to each and every path at each and every moment, whether you yourself are inspired for the meditation, the knowledge, the bhakti and the love, or the action. Like at each and every moment, if we know who we are, then whatever path we have to step on, it's perfect.
Yes.
And I love that perfection which you speak. And you were speaking of your singing, so I would love to invite you to grace our singers with your extraordinary voice, which Guru has been inspiring you and honing within you since you were, like you said, so small, opening up the satsangs in the small little rooms. And, you know, your voice is something that I've always associated with coming to Kulu and being in satsang, because it's such a part of Swamiji's vision, because you're singing his poetry, you're singing that pure space that you're talking about. So I would love if you would sing for us.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I just loved that Swamiji would write varieties of songs. He's written over 5,000 songs, and he could write about the river, he could write about the mountains, he could write about pure knowledge, he could write about the mantra. And I would just, as we know, the greatest means and the direct experience of that which I is, which is pure, free, forever, it is through meditation, it is through the meditation on the mantra. And this is a song that I would like to share with you and everybody that would be listening to it. And it's called the Jyoti Mantra. We call it the Mantra of the Self. And here's the mantra for everyone. Amaram ham madhuram ham, 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 amaram ham hi tum ho priyavar, madhuram ham bhi tum hi ho, amaram ham hi tum ho priyavar, madhuram ham bhi tum hi ho, shabd jahan ye rehte nahi, shuddh chetna ek hi ho, shabd jahan ये रहते नाही, शुद्ध चेतना एक ही हो, भू
भूल न जाना कभी स्वयं को अमरम हम मधुरम हम भूल न जाना कभी स्वयं को अमरम हम मधुरम हम 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 अमरम हम मधुरम हम.
Thank you so much, Elkas.
Thank you.
It's just the mantra for all times. Yes. It's so beautiful, and hearing you sing is very transcendental. So thank you for that. And I think this has just been such a wonderful conversation, and I know that the listeners are going to feel the joy and delight that I feel in my own heart just spending this time with you. And just to wrap up, I love to ask the guests three questions at the end of our talk.
Okay.
So they're quick fire questions, but you can expand if you want. So the first question, and these are also questions for inspiration for my own sadhana and practice, but the first question is, what scripture really inspires your practice? If you had to choose one, I'm sure you're a master of many, but one scripture that really speaks to you and encompasses your sadhana.
I would say it's a vast, big scripture. It's Yogavashishtha.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes, that was one of Swamiji's, if not his favorite,
yeah,
or his,
it is.
Not favorite, but his.
He read it all the time.
Yeah.
And he has incredible, a lot of, every place has a book of, in Hindi it is, and he has that book there, Nirvan Prakaran especially, and in that he would underline all the markings in there, and he'd write in between the lines, and I'm privileged to have those books with me that I go over, and he had put in his own revelations in that book as to how he understood that book. So it's incredible. It goes straight to the source, which I spoke about as pure knowingness or pure intelligence. We call it as Shuddha Chaitanya. Mm-hmm. It is pure consciousness. Its theme is that.
Wow, beautiful. And the second question is, if you could describe your personal sadhana in three words, what would those three descriptive words be of Elkaji's sadhana?
Be aware, be happy, share your happiness.
Nice, I love that. Beautiful. And then finally, how, in one sentence or less or more actually, how would you sum up this conversation?
Well, I am so honored to be able to have my interview with our dearest Bobby, and I'm so privileged that you inspired me to speak about it and represented all those beautiful aware beings that are there and that have this opportunity. So I actually would really like to thank you for taking up this project and doing such a wonderful job. And I know you do so many different things all across the board with helping people and sharing your knowledge with people and sharing your delight with people. So I want to say that it is my honor to be in the presence of you, and very, very happy and love and blessings to all the listeners.
Oh, thank you so much. Just JJ Guruji,
JJ. Very lovely. That's it.
Nice.
Thank you, Bobby. Thank you.
Amazing. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed what you heard, please consider supporting the show at patreon.com/acuriousyogipodcast. And please, please leave a review. It really helps the show reach more people. All right, friend, let's stay curious, connected, and keep walking the path together. in oneness and delight. This is Bobby signing off until next time.